Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program and also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, we'd love to have you zip over to the website and find more information about the church there. What in the world is an epiclesis and what do we believe? Things like that. And best of all, we'd love to have you come visit us on a Sunday morning. On this program, I love to bring you a wide variety of guests, but some guests are even more special than others. And all the way from Lexington, Kentucky is my friend, Dr. Carl Peters. Hi, Carl, and welcome.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. What are you up to right now, Carl? What you doing?
Well, I'm actually taking a month-long sabbatical, and in the heart of my sabbatical is the two-week trip to the Holy Land that your church and the Ancient Future Faith, along with the Obed Project, will be sponsoring from the 10th to the 24th of this month, and I'm just very excited about that.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to call you, Carl, and get some of your thoughts. And both of us are busy packing. We leave in literally just a few days. And I thought it might be fun, Carl. You know, you've been on the program a lot, and I enjoy every time we get together. We usually talk, pastoring or theology, stuff like that, ancient future faith. But I thought it would be fun for us to talk about this trip that you and I and 26 other people are about to go do, and maybe do a kind of a before and after. And by the way, and we can talk about this in a minute, I'm hoping we can also record some conversations while we are actually in the Holy Land and maybe work that into a radio program when we get back. What do you think?
That'd be a great deal of fun.
So are you having a difficult time packing all the stuff we need, or is that going well? Or be honest, have you even started yet?
I haven't really started packing. I have everything in mind that I'm going to take.
Okay.
And I have everything in sort of a plan, but I have not executed the plan yet.
Carl and I and 26 other folks are headed from various points in the United States, and we will all meet in Tel Aviv. Most of us are flying from the West Coast. Carl and another few of the folks are headed out from points on the East Coast. They are meeting up at various locations, and then we all finally converge here in a few days in Tel Aviv. Carl, one of the things that I ask you to do, and I love to travel with you, by the way, we always have a lot of fun, and it's going to be neat just hanging out and visiting with each other and enjoying one another's company. But one of the things I ask you to do on this trip and for this trip was to help me prepare a devotional. Each day, we'd love for everybody on the trip to kind of be on the same page when it comes to prayer and meditations and thinking about certain scripture verses and so on. And so, Pastor Carl, you helped me put together a devotional booklet. And if people want to follow along with that, it is available on the Epiclesis website. And I sort of randomly assigned different locations to our different team members to write. But it turns out that you really got to write about some of the places you care about the most, right?
Yes, I was especially grateful that you assigned to me the men's room in the airport at Tel Aviv. I thought that was very gracious of you.
Well, anything I could do to accommodate you, Carl, and only you could tease out the wonderful things that one could find in an airport. Really, that's a task especially for you.
Yeah.
Actually, you should tell people some of the spots that you got to write about on this trip.
Well, you were very gracious to me indeed. The Sea of Galilee is one. We are taking a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee,
yeah,
which will be a thrill. And there, Jesus preached his great Sermon on the Mount, and we will be at least near where that may have taken place. There's a beautiful church that has been erected there with eight sides, a very beautiful setting, and that's one of the places that I wrote about and that we will actually get to see. And that's really a dream come true. And from everything I hear from pastors and friends who have been there, preaching and teaching and just Bible study in general just comes to life,
right,
after you actually see and experience these places firsthand. So the Sea of Galilee is one. You also gave me Caesarea Philippi,
uh-huh,
where you may remember that in Matthew 16, Jesus asks the disciples who they say that he is, and eventually Peter is the one who really responds that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And his great profession of faith there, draws from Jesus the statement, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And we will see there a huge rock formation with a spring or a well that was used for the worship of false gods. And it's just interesting how that situation plays out in Matthew 16. Jesus says, "I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And it, many have considered the gates of hell to be sort of that spring area where the worship of the pagan gods took place. So those kind of insights, I'm anxious to see what that all looks like, and they're just very excited about that. And finally, Chris, I'll mention that you gave me the upper room, and it may have well have been the room where Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. It may not have been, some debate on that. But some of the early historians, I believe Josephus, noted that, maybe Eusebius as well, that after 70 AD, one of the only buildings left standing in Jerusalem was the place, the upper room where the disciples gathered. And so I am anxious to see that. I have always taken a great interest in the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, and just to imagine that this is the place where Jesus may have instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, a meal that we share often and still are overjoyed every time we come to the table to give thanks. These are the things that have me very excited about this trip.
Well, Carl, you wrote some wonderful devotionals. And folks, what I'm talking about is a little devotional booklet that we put together for all 28 travelers in our group to the Holy Land, leaving just here in a few short days. I should probably mention that the other three contributors to the devotional booklet are Dr. Rick Ashey. He's our pastor for intergenerational discipleship at Epiclesis. And my colleague and friend, Dr. Teresa Gardner, who is serving as my co-leader of this trip. She's been to Israel, gosh, nearly 50 times, and I'm contributing to the devotional as well. Anyway, you have the opportunity to check out that book as well. Just zip over to the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org, and there on the website under news or on the first page, homepage if you prefer, there is a story there about our trip to the Holy Land. And you can pull up the devotional booklet that we have put together and see the devotionals that Carl wrote. They're wonderful and would love to point you in that direction. Today, you're listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith Radio. I'm Chris Alford, the host of the program. On the phone with me is my buddy, and we're going to be fellow travelers here in just a few short days to the Holy Land. And I thought it would be fun to talk with you, Carl, ahead of time, before we've experienced all these wonderful things, hopefully also during the trip as well, and then again at least once when we get back home to talk about it. Carl, for most of us on this trip, it's our first time, and me too included, and I think you as well, it's our first time to the Holy Land, and it's been on my bucket list for a very long time. And I think you mentioned that you too have always had a I suppose most every pastor has a desire to see it, but it's been on my list a long time.
Well, since I was a little kid, I've been hearing the song, "I Walk the Day Where Jesus Walked." Mm-hmm. It talks about going down the little lanes where Jesus walked and the hallowed halls and various places where Jesus walked. And I've always in my mind's eye gone to those places, but now I will with a real sense of experience and a firsthand approach, get to see these places, get to walk in these places, get to taste and see, I guess, how gracious the Lord is. And it's going to be a marvelous thing to move from the conceptual to the realized. And it's just going to be a joy, particularly thinking of the holy city of Jerusalem and how it was the heart of the Davidic kingdom, the heart of God's saving purposes. Everything was pointing toward Jerusalem in the old covenant. The promised land, and it all seemed to just center on that holy city. And then when we read in Revelation that the new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, I think we're going to have a better understanding of that than we ever thought possible just by visiting this holy city there in Israel.
There are going to be a lot of fun things too, Carl. We're going to head to the Dead Sea and have the opportunity to splash around and float.
Evidently, don't drink the water out here.
Yeah, evidently you can't sink even if you tried. Or maybe a mud bath. Although I got to tell you, after a recent experience with a mud bath at Calistoga, I do not plan to do that at the Dead Sea. Just putting that out there, okay? And personally, in the Dead Sea area, I am especially looking forward to seeing Masada it has captured my imagination forever and ever. Folks know that that's a place where Herod had a fortress. And then after the fall of Jerusalem, a number of the zealots and holdouts went up to the fortress there at Masada and held out for, nearly a year as the Romans built this huge siege ramp that you can still see to this day. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know if I asked you or not before, Carl, but do you remember back in the 80s when there was the miniseries on television called Masada, Peter O'Toole and others? Did you see that?
Yes, and from that time until now, I have liked chicken Masada.
You're so silly. No, it was a television series with Peter O'Toole and I forget some of the other folks. It was an all-star cast. And from that day till now, and by the way, we are going to have some wonderful food, I'm sure. From that day till now, I have always had this fascination with Masada. And you may know that all new Israeli Armed Forces recruits go up there and have part of their training or at least initiation, because it is a sign of great resilience in Israel, even to this day.
Well, it's all fascinating, and to see these places that are such a part of salvation history and biblical history and the history of Israel and God's people, It's just almost too much to bear. I just can't imagine. I get emotional when I think about it, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to go. Part of our trip will also include an archaeological dig, which
this will be an
amazing and rare treat, where we will actually get to, and I believe it's somewhere near the Temple Mount, get to take part in that sort of activity. And I know we can't keep anything we on earth.
It'd be tempting, wouldn't it?
To have that opportunity is an amazing thing.
What Carl is talking about is that there have been excavations on the Temple Mount where the Muslims who are digging there, my understanding, have carted off these things and just dumped them. And, of course, devout Jews will not and cannot go up to the Temple Mount itself. But they have taken these tailings, as it were, that have been scraped off the top of the Temple Mount and then dumped because of the construction that's going on up there. Some would call it destruction, in fairness, and have been sifting through these materials very carefully. And if you are fortunate, blessed like we are, and have the right connections, you have the opportunity to participate in sifting through some of these things. And our partner who's going with us and one of our co-leaders, Dr. Teresa Gardner, said just recently that there was a wonderful temple era coin found in those archaeological materials. So I can't wait for that either. That's, I think, going to be one of our favorite spots.
Indeed. Who knows what we'll find. And it just, if we find nothing, it will still be a marvelous experience.
Yeah, just to put your hands in the dirt.
That's just, that kind of idea is just mind-blowing, that we're going to put our fingers into the dirt near the Temple Mount. It's just too much.
Carl, you were saying earlier that we're looking at places of Bible history and salvation history, God's story. But we're also going to a place that I have long wanted to go to, at least ever since I saw Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. We're going to have the great blessing of going over into the country of Jordan to spend a day at Petra, the carved city of stone. And the connections to Bible times are a little more tenuous there. I do believe there is a connection somehow with one of the Herods, one of the kings, and John the Baptist. I'm still not exactly sure what that connection is. I'll have to look it up before we go. But I'm really looking forward to Petra, and I'm wondering if you too are looking forward to that particular day.
I really am, not to mention that that's the name of an 80s contemporary Christian rock band.
True. Yeah, that's an important little snippet to get in there. Yeah. Maybe it'll come alive for us in a marvelous way, that maybe we could play some music of Petra while we're visiting Petra. What do you think?
I think that would be lovely. And also to think about being in the Jordan River, just perhaps seeing the place where not only Israel crossed over into the Promised Land, where the water was parted, the Ark of the Covenant was carried on dry ground, but also the place where Elijah the prophet ascended, perhaps the very same place where Jesus was baptized. And when I think about experiencing those things firsthand, I am absolutely blown away. So many critical things I've preached about and taught about all throughout my ministry are going to come to life as we visit these places.
Yeah, I can't wait. Perhaps the crown jewel of the entire trip will be our stay in Jerusalem, and those days are going to be packed with stuff to do. Carl, we're going to walk through Hezekiah's water tunnel. We're going to look through the more recent rabbi tunnel. That was the tunnel that was undertaken in more recent years to try to look for historical roots of the Temple Mount itself, called the Rabbi's Tunnel. What in Jerusalem are you looking forward to? And then I'll tell you, I think, what my most favorite thing is going to be.
I must say the upper room fascinates me, and you know of my great interest in all things the Lord's Supper, and just to even imagine that and to think about Pentecost and how the disciples were gathered there waiting for the Holy Spirit, waiting those 9 days, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon them like tongues of fire, and as they spoke, people from all over the world could hear in their own languages, some thinking the disciples were inebriated. They were actually just filled with the Holy Spirit. And just to think about thousands of souls brought to Christ and baptized, and that church in Acts 2, 42 through 47, after Peter's great sermon, how they were adding to the church daily those who were being saved. These are the things I have preached and taught for years, and now we will actually get to see where these things transpired. And Chris, it's overwhelming.
Carl, I should probably say, and we're going to devote at least one radio conversation to this in the future, but you're working on a book right now. In fact, that's one of the things you're doing on this sabbatical month. And the book is about worship, but I'm going to just bet you that God is going to use this trip, and maybe even particularly that visit to the traditional upper room site in Jerusalem, to help, flesh out some of the things that you're talking about in the book. You think?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if some experience I have on the trip works its way into the book. It's an extremely exciting time for us, Chris. And I think one of the great joys that I have is that I get to share this with you, my good buddy. And I'm glad that your wife, Sheila, gets to go, and so many from your church out in Sacramento, Epiclesis, wonderful, wonderful people. And I'm looking forward to getting to spend some time with them and with Teresa and some other folks. I think your sister is going on the trip, and I think I'm actually meeting her in Paris, and we'll be on the same flight to Tel Aviv. There's so many exciting things happening, and relationships and memories will be built and that will last a lifetime.
We're going to do several fun things in Jerusalem, but the one that I'm really looking forward to, I want to share that with you in just a second, but let me pause to say that you are listening to a conversation with my good friend, Dr. Carl Peters. He is the lead pastor at Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And Carl and I and 26 other friends are going to the Holy Land. We're leaving here in just a few short days. And if you would like more information about, say, our itinerary, some of the places we're going to visit, some information about it, maybe some resources, videos, scriptural references, but also another thing that you might be interested in is the devotional booklet that I was talking about earlier. Carl and two or three of us have written some devotionals for each day of the trip, and you can access all of that by going over to the Epiclesis website. That's Epiclesis.org, and right there on the front page, or if you look under news, you'll see a story about the Israel trip, and there are tons of references. Carl, we've put together I don't know how many links for videos, everything from packing tips and how to do laundry while you're on the road to how to survive the 13-hour jet flight to some of these great monuments we're going to. As Carl mentioned earlier, we are staying for a few days in Jerusalem. That's at the end of the trip. And I'm looking forward to that archaeological dig that we were talking about earlier. But there are some fun things that we're going to do in Jerusalem. For example, there's a wonderful thing that I'm really looking forward to called the Jerusalem Night Spectacular. It's kind of a Disney level quality audio-visual experience at the Citadel of David, the Tower of David, with projection and music, and it sort of tells the story of God's chosen people. I'm really looking forward to that. But Carl, I think the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is going to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre where most scholars agree is the location of Golgotha and the crucifixion. The edicule, as it's called, inside that huge basilica is considered by very many scholars to be the actual place of Christ's burial and resurrection. And I tell you, I have had a hankering to go see that for many, many, many years. And as I think about that, I just wonder if I'm even going to be able to make it through the experience, Carl, without just breaking down. It's moving for me even to speak about it here thousands of miles away.
It's so central to our spirituality and our understanding of God's love, so central to the gospel. And we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to form a memory that will, I'm sure, animate our preaching and teaching for the rest of our lives. Indeed. I just can't wait. It's so exciting. I have much to do before I'm ready to leave.
Yeah, me too.
But it will be here 1 week from tonight. We will all begin our journey toward the Holy Land. And it reminds me that we are all on a journey. We're all on a journey with Jesus that will one day lead us to the eternal Holy Land, that we will be with the Lord forever in a land he has promised. It will be a new heavens and a new earth. And as we take this journey, it just reminds us that we're all on a greater journey.
You know, Carl, people have been making pilgrimages to the Holy Land in general and to Jerusalem in particular since the 4th century. And when we make this pilgrimage, we kind of hold hands, as it were, with those throngs of pilgrims who have gone before us. We owe such a debt of gratitude to one pilgrim in particular. Her name was Egeria. And sometime in the 4th century, this woman, probably a nun from somewhere in Spain, took a long trip to the Holy Land, and particularly Jerusalem, during Holy Week. And she records in her diary to send to all the folks back home, all the women back in her community, all of her experiences. And it is because of that diary that we know a lot about worship in Jerusalem in the 4th century. So I think that we, especially being pastors, have a bit of an obligation, don't we, to go and record and think about and reflect on and then bring back some of these important things that we're going to experience to the folks who are in our care, yeah?
Indeed. And I have told my church family that each day that we are there, I hope to do a little brief Facebook retrospective and post that after each day.
Yeah.
And just keep people up to date. And if I have some pictures to share, I'll put them on there. But it's just such an awesome opportunity, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully, Carl and I will be able to do some recording, some conversations, maybe even capture some of the sounds around us, I don't know, while we're there. I'm still thinking about how to do that most effectively, Carl. And then when we get back again and have a few days to rest, I'm hoping that you'll come back and be on the program again, Dr. Carl Peters, and we can talk about all the things that we experienced when we were in the Holy Land. Will you do it?
I'd be delighted to do that.
Can't wait. Looking forward to seeing you, buddy. Well, you've been listening to a conversation with Dr. Carl Peters. We're getting ready to head off to the Holy Land in a few short days. And in the meantime, I want you to be thinking about this, friends. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, and after I get back from the Holy Land, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.